Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 5 of the study of 2 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2 Kings 25, 27 through 30. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray on Fridays for the nation of Israel. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your spirit on your nation of Israel, the nation of your holy covenant people, the place where your name will rest for all eternity. God, we ask that they would come to know their Messiah, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would send out laborers, messengers of the gospel, to go into Israel and proclaim with boldness the message of Jesus as their Messiah. And Lord, would you bring an awakening and a revival in the nation of Israel? And Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV as always. This is 2 Kings chapter 25, starting in verse 27. In the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the year Evil-Marduk, or Evil-Marduk, became king of Babylon, he released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison. He did this on the 27th day of the 12th month. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat of honor, higher than those of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin put aside his prison clothes, and for the rest of his life ate regularly at the king's table. Day by day, the king gave Jehoiachin a regular allowance as long as he lived. And with that, we conclude the book of 2 Kings, and we conclude a longer journey that we've been on from 1 Samuel through 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings. This has been a long history through the end of the judge era of the nation of Israel, through the kingly era of the nation of Israel, right up until the Babylonian exile. And this has been a fun journey for me. These four books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, these four books are four of the books that really inspired my love of God's word. There's been times when my desire and my fervency to read and consume and fill my mind with the word of God has waxed and waned through the years. Whenever I've felt this tinge of not really wanting to spend time in the word, not really wanting to read, not really wanting to study God's word, not wanting to hear his voice through his holy and eternal word, the thing that I've almost always gone back to time and time again is I'll pick up the book of 1 Samuel and I'll start reading. And I'll become fascinated over and over again. Because these stories are unique and powerful in Scripture, because they're stories of just so many people back to back, over and over, of the Lord using broken, fallible people. Broken, weak people. The Lord used and loved and enjoyed. And I love that. It's inspiring to me because that's all we have to offer God. We are all weak and broken. There are none of us who are holy. There are none of us who are righteous in our own right. We only have our weakness to offer to God. And in that way, it's a reflection of his grace and mercy and infinite love over us that we even have the opportunity to come to him in our weakness. And it's the only way he'll accept us. When I find myself struggling to want to read God's word, I come back to these books. And they encourage me. They restore me. I love them. They're this beautiful narrative of real people in real life experiencing at times the mercy and forgiveness of God and at times the wrath of God, the very, very light, I might add, wrath of God, the chastisement of God for the purpose of bringing them back to him. And that's exactly what this Babylonian exile is going to accomplish for thousands of years. Thousands. The people of Israel struggled with idolatry. And this one action, the Lord exiling them to Babylon, is going to end forever their addiction to idols. Forever. Israel is going to 100% put off any desire for idol worship after the Babylonian exile. So there are going to be other problems that Israel is going to face, other things, other issues that are going to come up later. And we see those in the New Testament. But the issue of idol worship in Israel, the Lord put to rest once and for all with this Babylonian exile. So when the Lord does something, even as harsh as what's going on here, it's for their good. It's for our good. The Lord loves his people, and he's trying to recapture their hearts, and it's going to be effective here. And all of the doom and gloom that's been going on in the last several chapters of 2 Kings, we've gone through that, and it's just been going from bad to worse. And now here we end the book of 2 Kings on a positive note. And that is that this king that was exiled but not killed, he's brought out. And this new king of Babylon, after Nebuchadnezzar has passed away. And there's beautiful stories in the book of Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar, and just amazing things of how the Lord is working and moving in the nation of Babylon because of the Israelites. This new king takes over, and he thinks of the king of Israel. Now, there are actually historical records, not just biblical records, but physical historical records in the form of cuneiform tablets that we have that are actually on display in a museum in Berlin. Lots of these ancient artifacts are there in Berlin, and there are tablets that speak of evil Marduk bestowing this honor, this graciousness upon Jehoiachin, king of Judah, as well as several other kings from exiled lands from Babylon. But it's remarkable that he showed this kindness to the king of Israel. And the book ends here. It ends on this positive note, basically making the point here that even though all of this has happened, the Lord is with us. The Lord was with their rightful king. He gave their rightful king a seat of honor in this new exiled country. And he's going to give seats of honor to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, all of these people through the Babylonian exile into the Persian overthrowing of Babylon. The Lord is going to continually raise up his people in seats of honor and power and prestige to give leadership to this world, because they are his representatives. They are the Lord's representatives at times on earth. And he is going to use them to show his glory and his love and his majesty and his power and his grace over and over. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel tells us the story of Nebuchadnezzar being humbled by the one true God and then having to humble himself and submitting to that one true God. Nobody can touch Israel without the Lord coming and touching them. Sometimes, you know, if you touch Israel in a positive way, the Lord may just touch you in a positive way. If you touch Israel in a negative way, the Lord has got an issue. He's got a bone to pick with you. Now, there are many people who take this kind of thing to an extreme that's probably not sensical, you know, that Israel can do no wrong and we should only stand with Israel and, you know, I don't agree with that. There are men and women who are running Israel who are human. They're fallible. They are not God's chosen vessels to perfection. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu is currently the prime minister of Israel. He's not a perfect man. He's not. And so when you're thinking politically and policy-wise, you don't have to agree with everything that Israel does. You don't have to. But we don't want to find ourselves standing against Israel, standing in the way of the plans and purposes that the Lord has in Israel. And one of the primary plans and purposes is the salvation of Israel. Paul says, my prayer to God, my hope for Israel is that they would be saved. He says that in the book of Romans. We want to stand with Paul saying, yes, we want them saved. And so anything that would come against the knowledge of the Holy One, of Jesus as their Messiah, we do not want to stand on the side of anything that would come between Israel and their Messiah. We don't want to find ourselves in that position. And so we always want to stand up for Israel, just like we prayed at the beginning, that they would be saved, that the Israeli Jews would be saved, that the Arab Israelis, that the Palestinian Arabs would be saved. Anytime we think about that region, we think about the conflicts going on there, I would encourage you, give a little bit less thought as to how to fix that area, how to solve the issues, to bring peace to that area. We should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We're promised a blessing for those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But more than anything else, I would encourage you to pray for the salvation of all of those people there. The ultra-Orthodox, the secular Jews, the Palestinian Arabs, the Jewish Arabs, all of the people over there, I pray that we would pray for them to come to know the one true God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's the issue that the Lord was dealing with here in Babylon. They had turned their hearts away from him, away from following him. And they're in the same position now. And the Lord continues to bring them trouble. There is constant trouble on all sides in Israel today. And it's not because the Lord has abandoned them or rejected them and chosen the church instead. Yes, the church exists, and we are, as the church, God's holy and chosen people. But that does not negate the covenant that God made with his covenant people, Israel. He loves them still today, and he will continue to bring them trouble until they turn their hearts back to him. And the Lord will do the same thing in our own personal lives, in our families. He will do whatever it takes to have our entire heart. He wants us to know him and experience the joy of that loving relationship where we love him as he loves us. That is where joy springs from. When we are in the midst, right smack dab in the middle of that loving relationship where we experience the love of God and we experience ourselves loving him, there's joy there. And that's where the Lord wants us to live. That's where he wants us to reside all of our days. Just like David said, in your right hand are pleasures forever. In your presence is the fullness of joy. So this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house all the days of my life. Being in the presence of God is where the fullness of our joy comes from. And that's what he wanted for his people thousands of years ago, as we read about it in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. And that's what he wants for us today. If you don't know that joy, if you don't know that peace, I encourage you, send me an email, go to a church, any church nearby that names the name of Jesus, and tell them, how can I know this peace? How can I know this joy? I want to know Jesus. I guarantee you walk into a church and tell the pastor that, you're going to put a smile on his face. That is going to be the end of our study of the narrative of the kingly history, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. We're going to take a little bit of a break for a while. If you're listening to this live as we go through it, we're going to take a few weeks off, and we're going to jump into the next book, which I will announce forthcoming. If you're listening to this months from now, after I've recorded this and broadcast it, keep listening, because we're going to jump right into the next book. That's it for 2 Kings. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I love it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back again with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.